believe it's important for us to maybe be taking a stand together and believing together, as we have done in the past over different things and that occur both nationally and even internationally. And I believe, church, we need to stand against coronavirus. You know, we need to be just praying and saying that that thing's going to falter. That's not spreading. They're talking a pandemic now and talking about that sort of hitting Australia. And I think it's like one in four will be, they're saying one in four. Someone's out there declaring that. And I'm saying no. I'm saying no. We're not going to have that in this nation. Amen. And you know, that our government's done well at stopping it, pushing it back, etc., etc. But you know, I believe that we need to stand spiritually and say no to that. And that's an authority that we have in Jesus' name. And you know, some of the songs that we've been singing this morning are, you know, alert us to that fact that we do have authority, and we say no to coronavirus. Amen. Let's just say that together. Father, we just come in Jesus' name and we take authority, Lord, today over this this disease, Lord God, and it's spread right now in the name of Jesus. We declare, Father God, that it stops now. Stop spreading, Lord God, that the nations of this world begin to know what it is that they must do to contain it, to stop it spreading, Lord God, and they start to act now, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And Father, we declare, Father, by that in your precious name, Lord God, that this disease does not come into our nation and spread, Father God. We declare that those statistics are wrong and are proven wrong in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you keep us from the pestilence, Father God. And Lord God, from the diseases, Lord God, that are around, Lord God, that you are good, Lord God. You are good, as we have sung, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our lives, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 We come against that. And just, you know, just through the week, just say it as well. Just, you know, no to coronavirus in our nation and the nations of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're in a bit of a series at the moment. We're continuing with that series. And I believe it's an important series. And we finished last week by focusing on the move of the Holy Spirit, which is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in power. And we see that the church age that we're still in, we're in the church age at this time. And if anyone's wondering about what age we are in the church age. And of course, since Pentecost, we have been in the church age, where God is calling out people, the ecclesia, that's a Greek word for the word church, ecclesia, the called out ones. And that's us. We've been called out by God. And of course, he separates us for his purposes. But we see that we're in the church age, and we're still in the church age. And of course, the church age started with the power of God in manifestation amongst his people. The Lord working with them, confirming the word that they declared with signs, wonders and miracles. And we should be believing for the same. We should be a people that have that expectation. Whenever we get around people and speak the word, we should expect that there be a manifestation of his power, and of course accompanying the word. Jesus then told the disciples to actually wait in Jerusalem until you are, or they were, empowered from on high. And you can go to some places and say, oh, well, that stopped with the last apostle, when the last apostle died. But, you know, the thing was, it was 120 of them that gathered in the room. It wasn't just the apostles. So at least it would have to have been when the last of those 120 guys passed away that all that stopped. But the truth is, it hasn't stopped. We need to be mindful of that. It's power from on high. It's power from God. It's not our power. Not any, you know, I've found the more submitted, the more surrendered I get, the more power I walk in, you know. And that just, again, reminds me, it's not of me, you know. And, of course, you need to remind yourself, too. It's not of you. Not any gift or talent that you have. You know, it's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we need to be seeking him for. Over there. And we've seen the scripture before, Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. So Jesus, there he is in his 3.5 year ministry with his disciples, those close to him, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. He's talking about what is to come, this age that's to come, this church age which is to come, in which we would all be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you shall, this is again Jesus talking, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea, or in and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we see this power. And of course, we have to ask ourselves, you know, is it lightning bolts sort of popping out of your hand, or, you know, what is this power? I tell you, it's God's power to transform. It's God's power to bring a difference and a change. And it comes in so many different ways. You know, quite a wide spectrum, from someone maybe hopping up out of a wheelchair, and I've seen that, you know, to someone, you know, losing their hearing aid, you know, healings, amazing healings, or a heart that just gets touched by God in a church service. I love the full spectrum, you know, from the amazing things that people just go, wow. And, you know, it's true. Sometimes people be so touched by God, you know, even miraculously healed, and still walk out the door and never really want to kind of continue with the things of God. It's an amazing thing to watch. People would go, well, if I saw someone get up out of a wheelchair, I'd really believe them. Well, I say don't wait until, you know, you see those kind of things. Because, you know, they're there. We could put videos up today and show you some of that thing. Don't wait until you see that type of thing to make it the thing that made you believe. You know, seek the Lord with all your heart, and he'll show up and you'll believe all right. Amen. If we read on into chapter 2, we see the move of the Holy Spirit to fill the believers that were gathered as they acted on this promise. What we know to be the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit, or baptism of the Holy Spirit, that empowerment for service and testifying to others about Jesus. It's an upgrade that every believer should seek and desire and want, because it's a promise from God to every believer. It's the promise of the Father. And this is the series that we're actually currently in. And what we need to settle is that the power of God in manifestation is purposed by God to be the normal experience of the Christian believer. I love, you know, where I would say it was extreme, you know, evidence of God moving. I love those moments, but I want to walk with him daily. I want to walk in that power on a regular basis. I want to walk in that and, of course, have that as my normal experience as a Christian believer. If it's not the experience that we're having as Christians, we need to pray. We need to draw near and seek more of him in our lives. And we should make his presence our pursuit. His presence, his very presence in our lives. That should be our pursuit, regular. And Rosemary had a vision this morning about the Lord lighting fireworks under his people, you know, getting them, you know, getting into another level by lighting fireworks under them. And I thought it was quite good. You had to be in the prayer meeting to know what she was talking about. But, we finished last week considering that we can all be sensitive to the work and move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can all develop in our sensitivity to the way that he moves and how the Spirit activates us and communes with our spirit. How many of you know that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body? So that spirit part of us is the part that God communes with, the Holy Spirit communes with, where the Holy Spirit dwells, and it's on the inside of us. You know, his movings and leadings are tangible. We can get more sensitive to those leadings and movings of the Spirit. So very important. I've been in a few church meetings where there was such a presence of God that you were unable to get up out of your chair because of the very sense of God's presence. You know, the impact of the move of his Spirit in that room or in that meeting place. You could not move about with someone thinking that you'd had too much to drink. It's funny to watch, and it's funny to feel and sense that type of, you know, extreme presence of the Lord. But even if you tried to speak, your speech was slurred. It's simply because the Spirit of God had turned up. The impact of his moving can be tangible to our physical senses. And that's the point we're wanting to make. The Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came into the room where they were gathered like a rushing, mighty wind. It was a move of the Spirit that was discernible to their senses. It came in like a rushing, mighty wind. And you could feel it. And how's this? The very first mention of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is where? Genesis. Genesis 1, two verses in. And what do we find about the Holy Spirit? Is that he moved. He's a moving expression of our Heavenly Father. We don't get but two verses into the book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and the Holy Spirit is mentioned and is tagged as being He that moves. And look at it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. You know, we need to understand that about the Holy Spirit. He moves. And, you know, He'll move in your life as well as we continue to surrender and make room for Him. Knowing that He's still moving in our lives individually and as we gather corporately, the Holy Spirit wants to move. And our heart is just to flow with Him. You know, whatever He's doing, whatever way He's going, we want to be able to flow with Him and of course, see the fruit of that. Jesus taught the disciples that the Holy Spirit was about to come and have an impact in their spiritual lives. He was encouraging them to discern the Holy Spirit, to know His leading and guiding, and to know His movings. You know, when He's moving, you know, we need to know it, and we need to be able to act on how He's moving. He's here to help us, is the thing we need to get a hold of. He's here to help us. You know, He's here to help us remember His word. And of course, secondly, to show us things to come. He's here to help us remember His word and show us things to come. We're going to look at that today. When we were in Bible college, going way back, it was late 80s, and I think it must have been first year, I'm not sure, but we were sitting back in the pews and we were just like, some of you folk just listening to the message and in the church service, and the church that we were in was quite a large church down there in Perth, and that particular day a pastor was being introduced to the congregation as actually a new pastor who had just recently joined their kind of, you know, affiliation of churches. And he was being introduced, and I'm sitting there in my seat going, oh, that's nice, and, you know, having all the thoughts and, oh, there's another church joining the movement. We must really be moving, you know. I was having those kind of thoughts. And the Lord spoke into my heart so very clearly and said, you'll be associated with Him one day. I kind of looked, and I think, I'm not even sure that Rosary is next to me, but I was quite sort of transfixed as I looked at this man, because the Lord said it so very clearly that I'd be associated with this man one day. And of course, what I didn't do was race down the front after the service, go shake his hand and say, hi, I'm Peter, and the Lord spoke to me when you got up and you were introduced. And, you know, I just tucked it in my heart. You do sometimes when the Lord speaks to you, he shows you things to come, and you just tuck it in your heart. It's like something that you can use as guidance later on. A couple of years later, there we were in our final year of Bible college. We're actually in the third term of the last year of Bible college. Rosemary's done 2 years, and I've gone on and done another year, and my third year. And it's the third term, and it's a holiday break. And we're just really consecrated. We're saying, Lord, we're submitted. We're waiting for your call and where you want us to go. We know you've called us to go to Bible college. We've called us to get ready and prepared. I get a phone call during that term break, and it's an evangelist who's traveling the nation, and he's drumming up support for his work up in Thailand. And he had visited this church in Brisbane and had gone out to a little group in a country town called Stanthorpe in country Queensland. And they had been praying and believing for 5 years for a pastor to come and pastor them and lead them into establishing a church in their little town. And he thought of us because of Rosemary, because she spoke Italian. There was a bit of an Italian community. But he called us and said, I've just visited this little church in a country town in Stanthorpe. And I said, oh, really? I said, where are you calling from? He says, I'm calling from Pastor Alan Fielding's church in Brisbane. And I went, oh. And he says, and he's here with us, and he'll support you to go up there as well and be, you know, start that church. And it was that same pastor. It was that same pastor, you know. And you see, the Lord will speak to you about things to come. The Lord will direct and guide you into His pathways. And later, you know, as I say, when we talk about these things in greater detail, there's quite a few little signposts along the way for the Lord to get you where you're going. But He'll speak. He'll show you things to come and lead and guide you. We had no idea about going to Queensland or pioneer churches. We were kind of just in that preparation mode. We just knew that we were going and that we were called. And you know, the following passages, and I wanted to bring them out because this is where the Lord talks about such things. And of course that leading and guiding that we can receive from the Holy Spirit. The following passage is very much a connection between that prayer, presence, power thing. You know, that we can find that sequence throughout these passages. John chapter 14 and verse 5 to 6. Lord, said Thomas, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me or through me. And other religions can be enticing. Peaceful little sayings and love and acceptance and all sounds very good, but without Jesus, we are lost and not on the path to salvation. Without Jesus, we want to make sure that our declaration, our message, the thing that we say is about people coming to Jesus. You know, we want to make sure that we're a people that support the truth and point people to Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, salvation exists in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Very important truth to get a hold of. But let's just continue on. John chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I'm doing. Now, we looked at this last week a little bit, and we said that a lot of people wonder whether or not Jesus did the things that he did because he was the Son of God. Now, Jesus was the Son of God, but he did the things he did because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. We looked at this, and it was a bit of a surprise for a few people. And, of course, look what he says. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I'm doing. Why is that? Because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Praise the Lord. And we'll just read on. John chapter 14, verse 15 to 17, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate. Now, some versions say comforter, some versions say helper, but it says in this version, advocate. To be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you do know him, for he abides with you and will be, what? In you. The Holy Spirit's going to be in you. Jesus is getting his disciples ready, getting his church, the coming church, to be ready for the Holy Spirit to abide within them, communing, the Holy Spirit communing with our spirit, and Jesus makes it very clear, and will be in you. Praise the Lord. So much for us to learn from this passage about the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit comes as advocate, or as we've said, a helper or a comforter. The Greek word is parakletos. Okay, two Greek words put together. Para, alongside. Kletos literally means one called to your side. So one called to your side is the definition of this Greek word used for advocate or comforter or helper, whatever your version translates that as. Notice that Jesus describes the characteristic of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Great characteristic that we should behold, the Spirit of truth. That's important because the work of the Holy Spirit is only ever going to be aligned with God's truth. The Holy Spirit will always be in accord with the truth of God's word. The Holy Spirit will only lead you in accordance with God's will and God's word because he is the Spirit of truth. Amen. Amen. John chapter 15, we'll read here again. John chapter 15, verse 26 to 27. And when the advocate comes, again, that's that Greek word parakletos. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. He will testify about me. And you also must testify because you have been with me from the beginning. So there's this testifying of him. You know, when we testify of him, we have the Holy Spirit's help. Amen. Holy Spirit's going to testify about Jesus, and so are we. There's going to be this work, this labor that we do together. His testifying means to bear witness, to give evidence, to testify, give a good report. You know, when we go out in the streets and we, you know, occasionally find ourselves out in the streets and in a position to maybe share the gospel with someone. What we have to recognize is that the Holy Spirit's there to help and give evidence of what we're saying. Now, that's another level, isn't it? You think about it, though. When you preach the gospel to someone, when you share the gospel to someone, and you know, you might just tell them your testimony or something like that, what we don't see is what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's giving evidence. He's touching their heart like only He can. That's powerful. Never, ever doubt that the Holy Spirit's not working with you, particularly when you feel led to share the gospel with someone else. He'll work with you. I'll tell you what it does do. It takes all the hard work out of it. Takes all the hard work out of sharing the gospel when you realize that the Holy Spirit's at work, touching their heart, you know, bringing that sense of conviction, that sense of, oh, there's really something in this. Yeah, and not only that, He's persistent. You know, where you go home and go to sleep and maybe forget about it, the Holy Spirit doesn't. You see, He's at work. They wake up the next morning and guess who's there? The Holy Spirit prodding, prompting, reminding them what you said. I tell you, he can just keep going, you see. But He's there giving evidence, testifying, giving a good report. The Holy Spirit is a lot better at reaching people than what we are. And we need to work with Him. His testifying touches hearts. I tell you, that we'd be a people that would let go and let God. That would just relax in that. And not trying to effort about our reaching others and our evangelism, but just really realize that God's at work. You know, that He wants us, you know, speaking simple truths out of the Word, you know, and sharing our testimony, telling people how God changed my life. Just that simple, you know, how God transformed my life and heart. Boy, I tell you that we would be a people that work with God rather than for God, and how important that is. So how the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us is often through the Word of God. And we talked a little bit about that so far, a little testimony earlier there, but John chapter 14, verse 25 to 26. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, just in case you're still unsure whether that was the Holy Spirit, He says it really clearly, the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. How important is it that we be a people that have the Holy Spirit working in us to bring to our remembrance, you know, a scripture or a word that directs us into His ways or into His truth. You know, when the verse comes to my remembrance, I don't always know the chapter and verse, but sometimes the Lord will bring a scripture to my remembrance. And I see that as a part of my devotional walk with the Lord, where I'll maybe get a scripture come to my attention. And I may not know where that is, but I'll certainly go looking for it. Don't you love search engines? Hey, what, you could just get half the phrase and it comes up, you know, and then you can find your Bible app. Or even look in your Bible at. But that's true if you're just recalling Scripture yourself and thinking on the Word of God, or the Holy Spirit is moving in you and bringing timely instruction, you know, a just-in-time word. Timely instruction, reminding you of His Word to teach you or to bring His alignment to you. So He wants to align you again, so He will bring a word to you. You know, not hear so much, but hear. You know, in your spirit, and you know it. God communicates with us through His Holy Spirit in our spirit, as a communion there. And of course, we should develop our listening. We should tune in every day. You know, I don't know. I really feel that there's a sense of that revelation that some of you are already walking in about that. You know how you tune in. You know how you when you get those old radio sets and you. And then you finally just, it's like a fine tuning, and you fine tune in. You could do that every day, amen. And we should. I remember a time when the Lord, it was so vital that I was tuned in, and I'll share that with you in a minute. But look what it says in John 16, verse 12 to 13. It says, I still have much to tell you. This is Jesus between the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? The upper room, Last Supper, on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's going to be betrayed and taken into custody, and he's trying to tell them about the Holy Spirit. So, you know, the thing that they need to know the most, and he's talking to them. I still have much to tell you, but you cannot yet bear to hear it. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you what is to come. Praise the Lord. What an advantage to have that close fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to be tuned in to him on a daily basis. And know things to come, things that are about to happen. Amen. You can get quite tuned in. Taxi driving. In our last year of Bible college, I got offered a job in the church that we were at, but the Lord spoke to me about and said, no, I want you to do the third year. So stepped into it and actually went out at the end of that year and got myself a taxi driver's license so that I could work. I don't know, I was thinking working nights, but it ended up being weekend nights. Let me tell you, that's pretty scary. Working weekend nights in a taxi in the city of Perth, even back then, it was scary as. I got some stories from that for another day. But there I was this one night getting ready to go out taxi driving on the weekend. I think it was a Saturday night. And the Lord spoke to me so very clearly and just said this, watch oncoming traffic. Just a real simple little watch oncoming traffic. And I went, yes, sir. I heard it. I knew what he was telling me just to be careful. He didn't say, don't go out tonight. Just stay at home, watch TV. He didn't say that. He just said, watch oncoming traffic. I went, all right. So there we were driving along. And I had this fare. And I think it was all the way from the city out to Guildford or Midland Way. And it was quite a way out. Of town, it was a fairly good fare too, and I had these people in the I think it was a guy in the front and two people in the back, and I what I did when I was taxi driving, I got the biggest theological looking book I could, and I'd pat it on the dash, just there as a conversation point. You know, if they didn't want to talk about it, that's fine. And if I felt to talk to them about the things of God, I would. But usually I'd say, what's that book? I said, oh, I'm studying at them. Oh, what are you studying? So I'd sort of lead them into it. And away I'd go, I'd tell them how I was studying, you know, at Bible college. Oh, what's that like? And next thing you know, you're in a position to tell them about the things of God. But we'd already gone through all that. And as we're driving along, I felt that moment to watch the oncoming traffic. And it was a double white line, so there's no barrier or anything. Driving along, and I've got these people in the car, and I just knew the Lord was saying, it's that car. So I put my foot on the brake. The car was still where it was supposed to be, and I just slowed down, and almost to the point where the people that were in the car going, what are you slowing down for? You know, because we're... And I just slowed down, and this car just came right out in front of us, just pulled in front of us, and then went bumping over the curb. It was a railway line there, and up onto the curb and to the cyclone fence, smashed into that, smashed into some bushes, and just sort of kept on going. So we actually whipped around and came back around and actually sort of put the hazard lights on and got up and helped these guys. But it was a couple of kids that had stolen the car, and they, for whatever reason, whether they're just being silly or whatever, but they just pulled right out in front of us. And if I hadn't slowed at that point, head-on collision. Would have been a head-on collision. You know, I hate to think what that would have been like. Watch the oncoming traffic. What a simple instruction. But the moment for activation was brought to my attention again, you know. And look, he will bring all things to your remembrance. Amen. All things. Is there anything that he can't bring to your remembrance? Nothing. But I tell you what, people, we've got to get tuned in. We've got to realize that there's a spirit from God for us to connect to. You know, and if we want to live sort of sense ruled, we need to get spiritually ruled in our hearts. Amen. We can expect a seeing and a knowing. And as we grow sensitive to the Holy Spirit, establishing our reliance on him meets us where we are. And we can look to that. We can receive that from the Lord. And it's well worth chasing after. Amen. I would like us all just to maybe stand to our feet. You know, church, I really believe God's call on our lives is to go deeper in Him at this time. Deeper in Him, closer to Him, wanting more of Him. And it's to our advantage. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. And you know, we need to know that our empowerment to serve as a people of God comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we, you know, an equipping that we carry with us into the Christian church. It's something that He brings to our lives. And I want to encourage us all that, you know, God's Holy Spirit and His presence in us and upon us as believers is His calling to empowerment, and that we can and should grow in our sensitivity to that. We can find that place and that level in our lives. So, Father, we again thank You today, Lord God. Lord, we're a people, Lord, that want to know You by the Spirit, Lord God. Want to know the activation and the works of Your Holy Spirit in our lives, Father. Lord, we want to see Your gifts flowing and moving and ministering amongst us, Lord God. And Lord, our sensitivity to them, Lord, being very, very high and heightened, Lord. Lord, as our hunger, Father, for You becomes more and more, Father, it increases more and more. So, Father, we stand before You today, Lord God, as a people that want to know Your voice in our lives, want to know the promptings of Your Spirit, the inner voice and the inner witness, Lord. We stand before You today, Father God, wanting to know more of You, Lord. And Father, we thank You as we just close this service today, Lord God, that You go on moving and ministering amongst us today. And Lord God, even this whole week, Lord God, Lord, that we would just go to that next level, Father, of participation with Your Holy Spirit, partnering with You, Lord, partnering with Your Holy Spirit, Lord, in our daily lives and in our workplaces, Lord, in our families, Lord, that we'd be a people that hear from You and know Your voice, know Your leadings in our life, Father. These are things that are related to the promise of the Father. And we thank You, Lord, that we're a people that are filled with Your Spirit and have evidence of it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen.